Just so for people who don't know and haven't used IncentIntelli Seminar, one of the things I love about it is that they actually have an automatic backup recording.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's brilliant that, you know, you can forget to record and you have a recording still. Now, you do get all that preamble that goes on in the first 10 minutes when you're blabbing with people at the beginning, but nevertheless, it's valuable that as part of the system. Okay, so we got a lot to cover today. Yeehaw. I'm sure everybody's excited about that. So here we go. Here's what we're up to today. We're going to debrief the outflow from last week's session and, you know, whatever homework, field work you did out there. We're going to check in with some of the questions that I posed to you all, or the types of questions regarding, you know, the reminder email that went out and some of the things that I presented to you in there. We're going to dive into a little bit of curiosity distinctions, because there actually are distinctions about curiosity, contingent on the focus of that curiosity. And we're going to really dive into subtraction, do a bunch of subtraction techniques, as many as I can in terms of demo, so that you have the experience of it, but also so that you get some stuff subtracted about that may be in the road impeding your ability to find the kinds of questions that you want to be asking. And then we're going to take a look at what's your next subtraction that appears to you. So that's the game. Here it is. Just three questions. You know, you can answer any one of those if you like, or not answer at all. These are the questions I'm posing. What is rippling through your personal ecosystem after last week's session? What did you experiment with and apply, and what happened out of that? And what are you still curious about? So, your ball.
Okay, Michael, this is Margie.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, all of this came up after my presentation on Monday. One of the ladies that came up to me came up and she heard something that we actually didn't say, which obviously pushed your buttons. And after I had a chance to really think about it, I had a great way to respond, but at the time I didn't. And what was going on in my mind after she asked her question was, you know, what was, like, I was thinking what was really going on, and I tried to back away from it, and I didn't. I mean, it wasn't because I didn't want to, or that anything, you know, about any ego or anything like that was getting in the way. It just, I sort of came to, I just blanked out, like, oh, so then what do I do here? So that's what was rippling through my, in a sense, my personal ecosystem after last week's session is, you know, looking, trying to step back and look at the big picture and just be at the very present. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yes. So you got hooked.
Oh, I got hooked, yeah. And she kept hooking me. You know, I was a dead fish by the time we were done.
And that will be useful to subtract. So that you can respond spontaneously to the needs of the moment with the fullness of your being. So that you can be right present, right with what shows up, with what's appropriate. And it's especially challenging when someone comes at us with a certain level of charge, as coupled with a background victim energy. I'll share an example. I was at a conference with master coaches, and prior to this moment I'm about to describe, there was about five or six of us sitting around a table, and we were all talking about things, and this one person said something, and I said something else. And he came up to me later, It's a long-time acquaintance, although not necessarily what one would call a deep friend. And he said, you know, when we were, I just have to share this with you. And don't the hackles on the back of your neck just go up when you hear that? I just have to share this with you, right? And so I just kind of went, okay. He didn't ask permission, but I'll let him go. And he said, you know, when I said this earlier, you said this, and I felt like you put me down and diminished me.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And I said, that's interesting. What would have you give me that power?
See, that's where I was trying to go. It's like, you know, be it the perfect response. Yeah.
What did he say, Michael?
He said, first it was kind of like a moment of Eeyore, you know, like, and then he said, I don't know. He said, thank you for that question. I don't know.
Wow.
And then we stayed. I shut up. I didn't say anything else. You know, the silence was perfect. Because silence itself can be a question. And I said, you know, I waited. And he eventually said, you know, you're right. I gave you the power over my experience in that moment based on what it was that I heard. And I went, okay. Well, you're a master coach in your own right. And you're a very creative and intelligent person. So whoever has a phone ringing in your background, please put your phone on mute temporarily till that's done. Thank you. And he said, yeah. And I said, no. Now, I'm going to make a request. And he said, okay. And I said, I'm asking you to never do that again with me. And he knew that he knew that what I meant was, don't ever give your power over to me. It wasn't don't ever approach and share something with me, but don't ever give your power over to me. And he said, I won't. Thank you. So the question that I asked was, what would have you give me that power? In the face of his statement that said, you diminished me. So when we're not, you know, now, granted, I'm not always in a space of being unhookable. But around certain things, the hooks tend to be less. And part of the subtraction process we're going to get to today is actually one of the more powerful aspects of masterful questions, in fact, of coaching period, which is if we can keep subtracting the places where we get hooked, we can then be absolutely present to what's calling to be spoken, asked, whatever, to respond with it. And it's our job, it's incumbent on us to subtract those places, the little eye rings that a hook can go through on us. I mean, another way to look at it is like, if somebody comes up and rings this little thing that looks like a doorbell on your button and it's not wired to a bell, they can push it all day. It's not going to annoy you. So it's our job. That's our job, to be the cleanest, clearest vessel for the coaching that's calling to come through. And when we're hookable, we are less than that. Cool. Thank you, Margie.
Michael, this is Connie. May I ask a question?
Sure.
I mean, I think I know what you mean, but can you clarify what you mean by hookable?
Well, somebody pushes a button, somebody says something to you, and you get an emotional reaction.
Okay. I figured that's what you meant, but that's...
Yeah, exactly. and then all of a sudden the emotion is driving the bus.
I loved your question.
And, you know, I have to tell you, I've never said that question before in my life. It wasn't like it was one in my back pocket for when that situation shows up. It was just what happened. Cool.
Can I piggyback on this, Michael?
Yes, Tina, go ahead.
What I really like about the story that you told is not only the critical importance for all of us as coaches to deactivate our triggers to the greatest degree possible and to be observant of them, but also that when you do, you're able to ask much more powerful questions. Because I think sometimes we shy away from situations where we are worried that we might trigger someone else. And that's another kind of way that we're triggered, right, by worrying that we'll upset them, and then it makes us weaker as coaches.
Absolutely, and that's actually one of the things that I'm going to look to subtract in a kind of group exercise during the course of this call is, contingent on there being time, I'm going to ask everybody to find their version of what it is that they're concerned about if you really ask a powerful, bold question. And then we'll see if we can subtract that energy using one person as the kind of demo person to be the proxy for everybody else, and everybody gets to play at home in the home game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you. We cannot coach powerfully if we're afraid the other person is going to be upset. We can't. If we already perceive them, aside from the powerful question won't come through, but if we already perceive them as so fragile, then they're perhaps not a coaching client. Or we're already in a diminished perception of them, so to speak. It's the you can't handle the truth moment. You can't handle this question, so I guess I can't
get up
ask
on the
it
wall
without...
yourself.
Exactly. Very cool. Who else? One or two more people, and then let's get moving. Out of
Michael
these three questions.
Living.
Oh. Okay, that's. I'll tell you what that sounded like. It was like Tom Sandler, okay, it's Ruby. Okay, so I think I heard three people who spoke, all three can be considered. Who is it again? And I'll see if I can grab names out of the hat here.
This is Libby.
Libby, yes. And?
Pam.
Pam, and? There were only two. Okay, cool. Okay, Libby?
Yeah, So I had a client that I spoke with this morning, and I feel really privileged to be coaching this guy. He's at a very senior level, and what I was trying to do was not to go backwards at all, from anything that I'd heard so far.
Yes.
And I found it really, 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 really hard.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I stayed going forward, and sometimes he would come back, right? He would come back to something that he'd already said or in a slightly different context or raise it again. But I did find myself, wanting to go back and trying really hard not to. So I hope I wasn't distracting myself. But at one point I did, and I felt like it was very natural to the conversation. I didn't feel like it took us, it wasn't like we were going into the past. It was just that it was something I heard, and so it didn't feel like terribly wrong, I guess.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying.
Yes, exactly. So there are a couple of things in what you've said. One is, if they decide they want to go back and pick up a thread, then that's them in the present bringing something into the present for themselves. That's not coaching the past.
Right.
That's them bringing something in the present for themselves that's showing itself as an echo. Okay? The second thing is that by by holding off and going to the past, a lot of things that people do, going back 5 minutes ago, 7 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, last week, you know, one of the challenges of that is that we can drag them back into the past when they've actually already made some forward progress. However, that comes with this caveat. If, because your default setting isn't set to go back in there so that I can grab something that I'm afraid I missed, if that setting is no longer on the table, if you happen to intuitively grab something from a couple of minutes ago, then that's going to be appropriate. It's going to be appropriate because it'll be born out of this moment rather than I have to make sure, and, you know, from the email that I sent out, I have to make sure that this whole list of things doesn't happen. So I'm going to go back and see if I can get enough data point, et cetera, in order to be able to move it forward.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yes, so when I talk about time travel, I'm talking not so much in an absolute. It's a question of whether or not it's a default setting and whether or not we're going back there for ourselves or whether or not we're going back there because something in our intuition has enough clean and clear space to know that that's important to pick up.
Okay, actually, that's very helpful, the whole idea of the default setting. So thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And the default setting is typically a function of fear. Fear that we're going to have missed an extra point, fear a powerful point, a fear that we're going to have missed something that was crucial. That's what informs and supports the default setting. When that's not on the table, then your intuition can guide the question into going, you know what? This is appropriate for me to go back to it. So the game is, just as Dina was talking about, is to take the default setting off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually the game with all of this, isn't it? When you really think about it, it's to take all the default or as many default settings off the table so that what the moment is presencing in the coaching interaction can show itself as cleanly and as clearly as possible. Cool. Thanks, Libby. I'm glad you brought that up. Well, that'll actually speed up the next place where we're going with respect to the time travel question. So it was perfect.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And Pam.
Yes, I had the opportunity. I did a complimentary session for somebody this afternoon, and it seemed I had really been thinking about coming to the sessions very clean, and I don't mean by that having had a shower, but trying to subtract as much from me as possible and to think about being really present there in the moment, and that's been a focus, and it was a really good opportunity to do a complimentary session like that. And some of the things that I noticed, at one point I asked a more convoluted question that didn't land with the client, and in the past that would have probably tripped me up, or I'd have thought, oh, that was a really stupid question, or, you know, it's a really stupid client, or it got hooked in some way. And
mm-hmm.
I just kind of cleared my mind, and a very simple, it was a four-word question, just came up from the ether, and I just asked it, and it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really noticed that.
That's a wonderful point to bring into our call, which is you cleared your mind,
mm-hmm.
but before that, you didn't allow yourself to get hooked into the judgment about the efficacy of that question.
Mm-hmm.
You went, wait a minute, I'm off course. That was an emotional intelligence awareness moment, and you went, okay, I'm going to go into some stillness here and see what shows up.
Yeah, and I was just quiet for a minute and just said, let's rewind. And then I asked what had really come up in that
perfect.
Space. And
perfect.
It worked really well.
Yes. Yeah, I've
and the best
had
part. The best part was the clients have signed up with me, so I'm very pleased tonight. So I just have to share my little moment with you all. But that's
delighted to hear that.
Yeah, that's one of the areas I've been working on, is about being really clear. And then, you know, I didn't judge me or the client. When that question, it was kind of fumbled. I didn't beat myself up or get anything. I just thought clear, you know, be clear. Just still, be quiet. And
yeah.
There it was. And I couldn't have told you where it came from. But it was very clear what I needed to say. And I mean that clear to me. It was just as if the words appeared on a blackboard in front of me. And it does do, if you let it happen, that's the magic of this.
Yes.
And I think half the time we're too afraid to stop our brain in case something doesn't come up. And then that's maybe when you should be silent. But that's the game here. You know, can you step into that space and let it happen rather than making it happen?
And the more you subtract from your need to ensure how it goes,
mm-hmm.
or your one's concern
mm-hmm.
about how it goes,
mm-hmm.
the more that is a natural and organic space.
Yeah, it felt really good.
Cool. Well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. In the past, I've, you know, it's not like I haven't or never asked convoluted questions. I have, and occasionally I do. And every now and again, I find myself either doing almost exactly what you did, or I find myself going, wow, you're probably as lost about what I just said as I am.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I think I've lost my way here. But it's okay.
and then we would both laugh about that, and it would lighten up the moment as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can always tell the truth about where we are as well. I don't really know what to ask you right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I really don't know. In this moment, I don't really know how to coach you. If that's what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we've acknowledged the truth. It starts to melt away. And then all of a sudden, how to coach them shows up. There's extraordinary power, ironically, in getting the hell out of the way and having it not be about us. We are paradoxically our most powerful when we're not concerned about being powerful at all.
What is that kind of, maybe it's jujitsu or aikido, where
aikido.
You move yourself away so... It's the metaphor doesn't hold entirely because you're moving yourself away to use their own weight against them, which isn't what we're doing. But the metaphor of moving away because the power of the person that you're with is enormous.
Yeah, it's akin to allowing the energy to be redirected to a more appropriate expression of the energy.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. So here we go. All right. What, if any, questions do you have regarding the types of questions clarified in the reminder email? The either-or question, the trap question, time travel we've already talked about, quiescence, or sugarcoating / TMI, too much information? Any hanging out there, or was that email clear for people?
Very clear, I thought.
Yep, very
cool.
Clear.
Great. Well, that speeds up our process.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. This is Ron. I just wanted to point out that the sugar-coated, overly contextualized questions, one of my self-awarenesses is that I can be a little verbose and being able to be direct and trim it down. And it's interesting, you know, as I think about it, when I'm verbose, I'm in my head and I'm not present. And it tends to be more about me than about them. And so I think as I bring greater alignment to being, you know, grounded and present for them, then I can be more anchored in the direct questions that are appropriate.
Perfectly said. You know, it's like temporarily what's going on in the mind is that we're vamping, you know, like in musical terms when they're playing dun,
dun 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 before the music starts. Dun 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 dun, and all this convoluted verbosity is kind of flowing out. It's kind of like vamping as we're trying to find what it is that we want to say.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. One other insight is, you know, as we're thinking about time travel, another challenge that can bring complexity to me in this same context is, if you remember the old Die Hard movies, where, you know, the airport was overtaken and they had all the airplanes stacked and racked up there in the grid because they couldn't land them. And sometimes I pick out airplanes and I stack them and rack them and say, okay, I'm going to get back to those, you know, because all those planes need to come down and get landed. And what tends to happen, you know, is, again, I get back in my head again and I'm not present. So your comments and the team's comments about being present and in the moment, and, you know, let manifest what's happening here in the moment, not try to recreate the past because I didn't get my point in.
Yes, and that last part of what you said is really the key. It's because I didn't get my point in, which says it's about me.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank
yes.
you.
One, you're welcome. I'm glad, and it's a beautiful image, because I want to just play off that image before we move on. And one of the things about the image of stacking planes waiting to land is that sometimes we try to land all the planes at once. That's when we ask, you know, like 2, 3, 4 questions right in a row. The client is sitting there going, which question do you want me to answer? And we don't give them any space to answer the one question, which means we're not really clear about the question. So we're asking a kind of posse of questions, hoping that one of them lands, which is tantamount to, you know, like throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks. If we take the time before we inquire to simply get centered and go, you know what? I'm just going to wait for this question. And whatever process you use, meditative or whatever it is that you use, I'll introduce a couple today, to help you get that stillness and allow for the question to show itself. Because it goes back to the context for this, which is coaching is a presencing. It's not an activity. And so it's our presence that supports the shift in another human being. It's not the how many questions can I or direct communications can I get off in the space of 30 minutes? How many lines of dialogue can the client and I create in the space of 30 minutes? That's not quality.
So Michael,
really
this is Dina.
Yes.
There's a way that what's coming up for me as you're talking is the distinction really between left brain and right brain, and how overly focused we all are on left brain analysis, data, proof, kind of, you know, teacher, give me the A, you know, all of that. And then the right brain, which is this place of wholeness and organicness and where intuition resides and where innovation, I think, and creativity reside, and it gets trumped so often by the speed of our left brain.
Yes. That's a great way to put it. It's like we're busy editing before the creative process has occurred.
Hmm.
If you've ever written anything and you're busy trying to craft it before it's all come out of you in a kind of stream of consciousness, you know how frustrating that is. You get stuck at the third sentence. Oh, that the isn't the right one. That color description isn't the right one for that line. What is it? That's like, get it out. Craft it after. And so the left brain is beautifully designed to be in structure, in service to the structure of the crafting once the intuitive presence has birthed it.
Exactly.
So it's a beautiful tandem, you know? All we really need to do is let it shape it.
but not think it creates it. Completely different orientation. And that comes out of a culture, perhaps Western, I don't really know, but it comes out of at least my observation in Western culture of identification with the intellect. I am my mind. No, you have one. Big distinction. It's one of a number of players in the team. Heart, spirit, body. You know, they're all players in the team. Cool. I love where y'all are taking this. It's fabulous. And what's wonderful for me is that I just show up, put stuff out of here, and I have no idea where it's going. Not unlike a coaching session.
Are you saying that we're subtracting you?
Yes, you are. Yes. Okay. So,
hardly,
we're
going to
play a little
hardly.
Bit with... with we're going to play a little bit with curiosity and just something you already know. And for those of you who can't see the screen, if you can't, there's two dogs sitting there talking and there's a dead cat in the middle of the road. And the dog says, relax, we'll blame it on curiosity. and we're trained away from it. See, this is the really annoying and yet at the same time exquisitely delightful aspect of coaching is that we are reclaiming a birthright of curiosity. We come into the world curious. We're trying stuff. We're sticking grass in our mouth. We're asking, you know, why is the sky blue? What is it? What does this do? What happens when you do this? Why are you angry? What are the, we're asking all sorts of questions because we're discovering, we're finding out about things. But very shortly, we get funneled into that answers are more important than questions. And we get rewarded for that. We get tested on that. We get graded on that. And so we drive out natural curiosity. And one of the really wonderful things about the coaching profession is that it's reclaiming that natural curiosity. However, because we've been so overstuffed with data and answers, we've now divided our curiosity into two realms, one of which is useful sometimes, the other which is useful almost always. And we're going to just take a quick look at those. Two levels of curiosity, and you can hear it in people's conversation when they're doing a coaching interaction, or you can hear it even But when they're not coaching. The first one is, what do I need to know to solve the problem? It's like a collection of data points. What do I need to know to be safe here? So an example of how that typically works is that when a speaker is being introduced, what do? Usually they rack up people's accomplishments, you know, their resume, all that sort of stuff about them. So they're playing on the surface level. That's part of the conversation, is play on the surface level. So what I have come to the practice of is when someone's going to introduce me for something, typically I've interacted with them beforehand in any number of occasions. And so what I ask them to do is, you know, my data is available. My bio is usually on the presentation somewhere already. What I'm going to ask you to introduce me is, what's your experience of me? Who am I? What's really at work there? And that's the curiosity of depth. So the surface curiosity is, what's the information? From the point of view that if I get enough information, I'll be okay. Because it seems like the situation is about the information. It's not. That's the distraction. It's almost like an unconscious magician giving you misdirection, having you look other than where it really lives. So as we go through some of the subtractive pieces, I'm going to see what we can do to subtract some of the aspects so that where you begin to ask your questions from on a natural, normal basis without having to remind yourself is depth. Who are they? What is the iceberg underneath the water? You know, what's really at work here? How deep does that really go? That's where you get questions of meaning and context and fulfillment and satisfaction and values and things like that in people's lives. So that they can then expand their awareness of who they are by being in interaction with you and then employing that deeper recognition of who they are and what's meaningful for them in service to solving whatever the presenting situation is up on the surface.
Michael?
Yes.
I kind of call that coaching from the heart for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where I find myself going all the time.
Nice.
When I hosted my SIG the other day, I didn't even tell anyone about the accomplishments of the speaker. I spoke about how I related and what a great human being he was, not about all his accomplishments and what the relationship was for him being the guest speaker. And it just came from my heart. It didn't come from any other place. And I kind of believe that in coaching with my clients, it's the same. But the intuitiveness also kicks in at the same time.
Well, yes. And so what I hear you identifying is that you coach heart to heart.
It works. And I don't know any other way.
Yes. What I'm pointing to is that you coach from heart to heart.
Yes, yes. But what do you do sometimes when it's not there on the other end?
It's always there. It's only dormant, obscured, obstructed. There's just interference. It's always there. It's just...
So it's up to me to ask the questions then that bring the awareness. Is that what you're saying?
Well, partially. It's also up to you to discern where someone is in their journey. So trying to get someone to be fully vulnerable and open and expressive before they have taken a couple of other steps is like hacking their being.
Can't do that.
Well, you can hack it, but there's a lot of collateral damage about that.
Well, for me, it would be uncomfortable.
Yes. Well, and inappropriate, my guess is.
Yes.
Yeah. To the degree of almost being unethical in terms of, for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't be a good fit. You know, I couldn't.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that you couldn't usher someone along, because, again, here's another part of the context of working with a client, which is each time we work with a client, what we also have to subtract is the idea that we are the person who is there for the transformation. We are the person who is, think of it like a relay race in the Olympics, you know, the 10,000-meter relay race. We are there to carry the baton of their development to the next person. They're the ones in the race. You know, but we're the person who's just carrying the baton of their development as they continue on. So it may not be for me to be the person through whom or with which they get this most profound breakthrough. I may be just the setup guy. I may be just the seed planter. My job is to fulfill the role that is available and matching for our interaction for the time that we're together.
What a great metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows us to then focus on our job rather than trying to think we have to run the whole frickin' race.
There you go again, being brilliant.
Michael, this is Carly. Can I?
Yes, yes.
I just had a lovely little aha moment in, I think it's a distinction on what you're saying is, you know, I often say I can't not coach who the person is. But there are so many layers to that depending on where the client is. You can, you know, I as the coach can always be holding the presence, the possibility that the client will go wherever they go with me at whatever depth. But that doesn't mean that I don't hold the presence of who they are and the greatness of that client. But they may not want to go the whole way, so to speak. But I guess I... Yeah, so I'm sort of in that sort of question of, is it about holding the presence? It's certainly not about, I don't, all I can say is I can't not coach and be attentive to who the person is versus what they want. I want to be present to both, but maybe there's, the distinction is there is a time and place and it depends on the client whether they're going to reveal more about themselves to you in this session or not, and if they do, great. If they don't, great.
Well,
yep. And also,
yeah.
Carly, I think this is Dina. I just had an experience today. I finished coaching a senior guy at an organization, and I was debriefing his manager and the HR person, kind of where we were. Did we want to continue? And my experience with the client had been that it was profoundly transformative for him. Like the first time that he'd thought about these kind of questions, thought about who he was as a leader, all that stuff. But none of it showed up. None of the work showed up in his ability to lead differently. So my first thought was, oh my God, Dina, you didn't do a good job. You know, you... Because, you know, we all like to create success mm-hmm. for our clients, and we like to create success for ourselves. And I have a very good relationship with that HR person and with this guy's manager. And I said, I'm so sorry that the work didn't create a more profound shift that showed up. And both of them said to me, it was like they were channeling you, Michael. They said, not yet, but we don't know when. Like it may have been that you planted the seed, or you've
yeah.
given him the vocabulary, but he can't speak sentences yet. Or it was very lovely what they did, and it took a little bit of my ego out of the equation of like, oh my God, Dina, you didn't do a very good job. But it's just what you were saying, Carly. Like, it's like a baby cannot walk until its muscles and legs and coordination, all of it is ready, period. Even
yep.
if you really, really, really want it to.
Yes, and what you also said, Carly, was that you always hold the greatness, even if that's not the who part that you're coaching at this moment in time, the fullest expression of that. You're coaching the who that's available to coach at this moment in time within the larger context that there is a greatness there. So as I listened, I heard a both hand. Yes, there's a what that has to be addressed. That's the game board that they're going to play on. It gives you access to the who. And yet the who is the piece you're coaching. But is that who all of the who of that person ultimately in their development? Probably not. But it's the one that's available right now to coach, to whatever depth is available right now to coach. And so we coach that as powerfully as we can.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. And I just want to also thank you, Dina, because your authenticity and humanity, you know, just touched me then in being truthful about, you know, the ego and wanting to do a good job. And, you know, I can relate to that in the corporate environment. And all we can do is be the best present coach we can
Absolutely.
Be.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. One last tag. Is it just in similar to what the HR people said? Is that we're also not inside the client. So we don't know what's going on in there. It may have been transformative to such a degree that the next step is integration, and they're wrestling with it. So we actually sometimes, because we can't see the external expression of the transformation or measure it in ways that we might expect to measure it, the assumption that it hasn't occurred doesn't necessarily hold. That's why we need to stay in connection or in observation to see what has and what is shifting over time. You know, you may have just popped him out of the chrysalis, but he's not ready to fly like a butterfly yet.
You know, there's a, just speaking of that image, I learned a long time ago that when the caterpillar goes into its cocoon and before it comes out as a butterfly, it's neither nor. It's neither a caterpillar nor is it a butterfly, and the cells are actually called imago cells, because they are in a place of transformation and integration that looks like not the past and not the future and actually unidentifiable.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
thank
I'm going to hold that my client is in the imago stage.
Right. Yeah, and he might go or he might not go. Cool. Thank you. Okay, so I invite you all to reflect this week on where you're playing when you are curious about anything. Am I curious just on surface level? And to a certain degree, that's appropriate at times to be just curious. And am I really curious as to who this person is who is in front of me? Not what are the data points about them, but who are they? It's like we get curious about people's accomplishments, and that's nice. But we don't get curious about what character traits they had to draw on to get there. You know, we don't get curious about that. We get curious about what they had to do, what they did, what were the steps. But that sense of self is that deeper curiosity level. Okay, time for some tool time for subtraction. And I'm going to introduce to you a number of different tools. These come from a man named Tom Stone, the Core Dynamics tools. He calls them pure awareness tools. And I use these to help subtract the frictors, what I call factors of friction, that impede or inhibit one's progress and experience along the path. So what I'm going to ask you to do, unless, of course, you're driving, because this is a closed-eye exercise, and this first one is called GAP, which is an acronym for Greater Awareness Place. Okay? I'm going to ask you to simply close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, you'll notice a couple of things. The first you'll notice is that your sense of sound may be a little bit heightened. The sound of my voice might be easier to hear. The sound of the sounds in your background may be easier to hear. And there's nothing to do about this phenomenon. It's just what happens when you close your eyes. The second thing is that you may notice that your sense of touch is a little bit more aware. Maybe you're aware of your body on the chair or your hands on your lap or whatever they're doing. You may just notice that. And again, the same as with sight going off, allowing sound to be a little more present, it simply allows a sense of touch to be present. If we hung around with this long enough, smell would come into play, and if we tested it, we would find that taste would be a little bit more acute as well. So, you may also know or notice that you have thoughts. And the thoughts are going to appear and come across through you, much like clouds on a partially cloudy day. There's a big blue sky in the background, but do we notice the clouds more than we notice the sky? So I'm just going to ask you to notice those thoughts as they show themselves and then disappear for a few seconds. And now if you allow yourself, I'm going to ask you to simply, in much the same way that when you shift the lens of a camera, the background sharpens and the foreground blurs a little bit, I'm just going to ask you to employ that to notice the background of silence a little bit more and let the thoughts blur a little bit in the foreground. And as you allow yourself to notice the silent background a little bit more that the thoughts emerge from, thoughts are still going to come. As you notice that silent background, you may start to also notice how vast it is. And that there may even be some kind of descriptive qualities to it. What is it feel like, or what words would you use to describe your experience of that silent background? And just, you know, bring them to the surface. You don't need to identify yourselves. What words describe it for you? So let's hear some of those words. Who wants to share?
This is Kali, deep peace.
Beautiful, deep peace. Anyone else?
What's coming to me is patient dog.
Patient dog. Nice. Who else? What are you feeling in the presence of that silence?
This is Pam. It's like a milky white ocean.
Nice.
Calm.
I just have a curiosity. For any of you on the call, is there any concern about how things go in this place of silence? In the experience of that?
No, I'm good with silence.
I
like, long ago, I remember, maybe it was in coach training, CI, where they brought up a really good point. If the silence is too long, they'll say something, you know, it might be, are you still there, or something.
That's usually a non-present silence. I'll clarify that in a minute. Okay, so imagine the sense of, as Carly articulated, and Dina, you know, patient dog and calm, and that, and this big white ocean, and imagine coaching from that silence as your background. We do have some noise, some background noise, so if you're deciding to cook dinner while we're on the phone, please do put your phone on mute, because we can hear, in the space of this silence, we can hear all of the movements you're making that you think are silent. So please do put your phone on mute. Okay, great. So, thank you. Yeah, imagine that this is the background energy of patient, deep peace that you coach from. So just to check in with a few of you, how would that be?
Well, I think that it would be very comforting and powerful at the same time. Because what would there be to be concerned about? It would just be completely present and allowing from that space. There's no mental interference at all.
Exactly. It would be as if before you worked from this place, you were busy downloading files of anxiety-producing thoughts and feelings.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you cut the link to that site.
I like that. Good.
I'm sorry. I'm not getting it. No more emails from that site.
You know, Michael, what that brought, when you said that, you know, imagine coaching from a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
What came right up for me was, imagine, you know, bringing your client to that place.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, just like that space that we all need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now if I ask you all to just sort of touch back, close your eyes again and touch back to that space. Can you notice that it's actually still there? And if you just sit for a second or two, it's in the background all the time. Just like the sky is there all the time, whether clouds are in front of it or not. Okay. So now I'm going to give you a tool. That one's called the gap. This one is, I am getting some feedback. If someone's listening through your phone and your computer at the same time, we're getting a double call. So please mute either the computer or your phone.
Michael, this is Carly. What I find is if you go to the slides tab and then synchronize slides with phone. If you're on the phone, it doesn't. That's what stops that feedback.
I don't know if everybody
is doing that.
Okay, thanks. That's very helpful. So find that synchronize slides and click that. Or, well, there we go. Okay, thank you. All right, so again, once again, close your eyes and we still have it. Okay, so let me see what I can do.
For those who are looking at the screen on the slide that he has up, at the bottom there's a place where you can either click one of two bullets, synchronize slides with phone, or synchronized slides with webcast audio. So that's one place that you can just click to match what you're doing.
Cool. Okay, so is the air clear? No. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to temporarily mute everybody just so that you can engage in this process without a little background kicking in. And I'll unmute when it's time for questions. Okay, so again, just close your eyes and just allow yourself to drift back into noticing the silent background. At first, you may be focused more on the thoughts, and let that happen. You don't have to fight them or ignore them or try to control them. Just notice that they're there. And now allow your awareness to shift into the background. And now, into the pool of that silence, I'm going to give you a question to drop into it. And whatever response, whatever information you get is what's next, even if you get no response. Okay? So here's the question. Into the pool of silence, drop this question. What is the next most powerful action I can take in my personal development in the role of coach? What is the next most powerful action I can take in my personal development in the role of coach? And then just wait. And see what shows up. Okay, now I'm going to unmute all. And I'd like to hear from you what you noticed or what came true for you. No matter how silly, strange, or right on target, or even not there. Okay? So, who'd like to speak?
This is Pam. I'll volunteer something.
Okay.
This is very strange because it's not even a word I would typically use. And it was just a word, and it was educator.
Educator.
Mm-hmm. That's not even a word I would typically use, so go figure.
So that's the next most powerful action for you to take is educator. Okay. So I just ask that you allow yourself to sit with it and see where that takes you. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who's next? What word or words or image or what came up? What came through from the cosmic database?
Michael, this is Molly.
Mm-hmm.
Patient.
How wonderful. We may not think of patience as an action, but it is. Being in the state of patience. Unless it was patience spelled with a T-S at the end.
Cool.
Great, thank you. Who else?
This is Margie. The first word that came up for me is fearlessness.
Wow. Fearlessness.
Nice.
This is Carly. It's going deeper into self-love than I could ever imagine possible, so that I can truly love every single part of myself to the point where it's no longer an issue for me. And I don't even know whether it's always an issue, but it feels like there's something about, you know, that depth of self-love for the whole of me that would really support me in my next evolution as a coach.
Wow. Nice. Really.
I don't know how to do that.
I wouldn't worry about the how at this moment in time. It's just like, that's the email you got.
Okay.
there may be, like, to be continued. More information coming. And maybe
I think it involves a straight jacket and a cell.
Yeah. So this tool, and for whatever it was that you got, no matter how strange it may have been, or if there was nothing there, then it basically means there's no information on that subject at this moment in time, which means that your focus isn't to be on that. It's to be on something else.
Michael, can I share real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Ron. It was interesting because at first there was a concept that came to me, and then it grew. At first it was this notion of being me or being truly me, and then it evolved to being you, and then further evolving to being us.
Wow. There's actually, I have a tool for that. That helps that experience.
Cool.
It isn't one of the ones here, but I will see that I'll put that one up. It's one of the tools. It's called AGAPE, A-G-A-P-E, which in the acronym for it stands for a greater awareness place everywhere, which is about the interconnectedness between you and, or with you and everything, from the point of view of quantum entanglement, you know, that we are all everything anyway. There's not like a whole bunch of separate onenesses, you know what I mean? So we're a subset of the expression of oneness or source or whatever the word is for you. But this tool will help heighten your proximity to it. So I'll put that one up there. It's not up there yet. Great. That's fabulous, because in that, and I do want to speak about that for a moment, in that, having the expansion from me to you to us, what happens is that you can, once the barriers of the illusion of separateness between each of us and every other human being start to melt, we can perceive fairly accurately what is going on over there. So it's a great exercise to do before you have a coaching session. Thanks, Ron. Thanks for speaking up.
Is that perception different from empathy?
Empathy has slightly different feel to it, in the sense that empathy typically is from the point of view of the way you might articulate it in a sentence is, I feel what you're feeling, you know, which paradoxically we both can and can't. Because it's a unique manifestation over there, there is a sort of, it's going to have a different flavor for the other than it does for us. Regardless of whether or not we put a generic label of sadness on it, it's a different flavor because of the history and experience of the person through time and the firing and the crucible of what has been shaping them. Simultaneously, in the larger, more metaphysical sense, yes, we can know. So it's contingent on our ability to play in both realms at the same time. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, and it's a big one.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Cool.
So you can use this tool, by the way, and that's why I gave it to you in both PDF and in a recording so that you can practice. You can use this for questions that you have about yourself, about what to do in a situation. You can even, after you get a little bit more facility with it or read it as a script to a client, you can help them tap into, as was articulated earlier, tap into that space of the presence of the silence and drop a question in for them. And let's see what comes through them for their answer, more than just what normally comes through their intellect for their answer. Very powerful tool. It's called Sanyama. It's an ancient Rishi word. The acronym that Tom has applied to it, and actually apparently the concept means silent awareness notices your answers manifesting automatically. I didn't even know about this word when it kind of came through, the whole process of it came through me at one point in time and got added to the pure awareness techniques that Tom had. So that's Sanyama. Now we have some time. I just want to sort of feel into it about the subtraction piece. Okay, yes. Dina, you mentioned something earlier about questions, you know, like things that were in the way of being able to have that simple clarity and peace and straightness of questions come through you. And I want to pick up on that and see if there's someone in the call who has a concern about the impact of their questions, what will happen or what might happen that you have some concern or even fear about, that if you really ask boldly a powerful question without couching it anywhere and going direct, that it may shock, it may disrupt, it may create an emotional reaction over there that you're afraid will happen if you ask one that is really deep and really powerful. So does anybody have that one living in them right now?
Sure, always.
And who was that?
Margie.
Okay, great. Margie, would you be willing to be in a demo of that right now?
Okay.
Okay, cool. So what I'm going to ask you, and for anyone who has a version of this, like concern that if I ask the wrong question or I'm not going to ask the right question or I'm going to ask a stupid question, anyone who has concern of any nature about the consequence of your asking a question, play along with your version of it while I'm coaching Margie. Okay? So Margie, when you can you remember an instance where this concern was really sharp for you?
Well, I asked that lady that came up to me after my presentation, and I went ahead and asked it. I kept humming and hawing before I asked it, actually. So, yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so if you close your eyes right now, can you revisit the moment before you asked the question that you were going to ask, the moment of the hemming and hawing?
Yep.
Okay, can you feel in your body or in the sort of energy field around you, can you feel where that energy is located or sourced?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to heighten your awareness of it because it's still a little light. I'm just going to ask you to consider that you might ask a question and someone could literally freak out on you.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, good. So you can feel the energy of that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, can you also feel the energy of that associated as if this was a client and you asked them and it was a very important one and you asked
yeah.
them and they freaked out of it? Can you? Does that help locate the energy more?
Yep.
Okay, good. So now, if you allow yourself, you'll be able to notice the field of it, but I'm going to ask you to see where in that field of energy in your body, is it in your body, by the way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Where is the place that is the epicenter of it, the one that is rippling all the waves of that out? So if you can put your awareness right in the middle of the epicenter, almost as if you're being drawn down to it, like following a vortex right down into the epicenter of the smallest point of locus of that energy. Put your full awareness there and feel it so thoroughly there's nothing of that energy left to feel. And what's happening now?
It goes away a little bit, and then I concentrate a little more so that, you know, I can make sure that it's gone.
Okay, and so when you concentrate a little bit more, are you noticing more then? Are you going through layers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like either peeling an onion or Russian dolls. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller, but there's another one right on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Again, we're not going to try and get rid of it. We're just going to ask you to feel it so thoroughly there's nothing left of it to feel. And now what's happened?
It's actually the same.
Okay. It's the same.
Going through the same process, yeah. Like it'll start to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So I just dig in a little deeper to see if it's fully gone. And
And there's still more.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And that could be very surfaced.
Right. So I'm going to ask you, if this goes away from you completely, will you lose something that has some value for you? Like it's been that somehow it protects you from going over the top, you know, going really outrageous in your questions and it really costing you somewhere. Is there any concern that if this little governor, so to speak, you know, like the governor on trucks, keep them from going too fast. If this little governor disappears and you're fully, boldly questioning people without concern for the outcome, is there any concern that you'll lose your ability to discern what's appropriate?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, good.
Not consciously.
So then, yeah. Good. So then I'm going to just invite you to continue to go down and take your awareness with an even finer edge to it, a sort of finer recognition, smaller, almost like you were going to the molecular or submolecular level.
What's happened now?
Okay. Yeah. I can't find it anymore.
So there's a kind of emptiness to that energy.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's see if we can provoke it, just to be clear. So I'm just going to ask you to consider and think about your most important client, the one who may have a whole lot of center of influence in your world, the one who may have bought your highest value programs, may have been lots of range and reach and could really affect your business if things went badly with them. So I'm just going to ask you to consider asking them a question, and they get hugely upset. And now they're going to say, I'm going to tell everybody I know how terrible a coach you are. How does that land?
There's nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does it feel to be that free?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So let me just ask the rest of the people in the field. Did anyone else have an experience of something moving or shifting in them out of that brief demo?
Well, I did, Michael. I did the process. I followed right along with what you were doing, and it was, yeah, very, very big shift. It was nice.
Great. And if it isn't yet complete for you, because one of the things that is an aspect of that particular process is that it needs to be thorough and complete so that there's no more of those patterns of energy inside you. This is, by the way, this is not anything mystical or magical or strange. It's a function of wave mechanics and quantum physics as well. I could explain all of that, and maybe I will at another call, or even if people are curious about it and want to chat with me about it, I'm happy to. But the bottom line is that when an energy pattern is inside all of us, it informs how we live and express ourselves. So if you have a pattern of energy, and listen, we all know the phenomenon. Is there anyone on the call who has not experienced triumph and then had the experience of that, the feeling of that, disappear in very short order? You know, that moment of, I won! Yes, I won! Yay! I won! And then like 10 minutes from now, you're trying to get it back. And I won! And you're trying to amp it up, and it's just not the same. And the phenomenon that's already present in human beings is that if we experience the energy of something like that thoroughly, to all intents and purposes, there's nothing left to experience of it, and it disappears. Now, we don't like to do that with unpleasant energies, so they hang around like archived files on our hard drive. And they take up space. And they're like programs that run in the background, eating up our RAM, and to some degree, maybe even if infecting other programs. This is a tool that helps run antivirus software on your personal hard drive and helps neutralize that space. That particular technique was called the CORE technique, again an acronym, which means Center of Remaining Energy. And so if there's any residual energy of whatever it was that you were working on personally, then what I'm going to invite you to do is I have a recording of me guiding you through that. And all you do is you keep going to that energy, feeling it, keep going deeper and deeper as Margie and I did, until there's nothing of it left to feel. And then self-provoke. Find the most exaggerated scenario of the worst case scenario of what might happen if this phenomenon went on with you asking a question. And if it shows up anywhere in your body, you feel a pulse, an energy, a constriction, a tightness, or something, whatever.
then again, look for the epicenter, the most intense place of it, the source of it, and go right down into it until it's complete. That's cleaning house. That's subtracting it, not on the intellectual level, but on the energetic level in the person. Personally, it's the most powerful way I've found to play with certain things. It's not that there aren't other techniques. There are. There's neuro-emotional technique. There's tapping. There's a whole bunch of things out there. This one happens to be the one that I gravitate toward. If it's useful in the future, I may hold a course on it, because there's lots of nuances about it. So, here we are. That was the core technique. We don't have room for the C technique today. The dog is voting. And we're going to dive into deep questioning in a practice scenario, but I wanted to put this slide up for you to observe just as a teaser. Deep questioning goes through all of these layers. First goes through the presenting situation, the specific issue or the group of issues. That's the bigger piece. You know, that's what they usually show up to us with. It's the chum behind the boat that if we're really attached to problem solving, the jaws of our nature will go eat it. Next, underneath that is the reason behind the situation, which is usually an underlying hunger, or in Maslow's terms, a need, something that needs to be fed, something that needs to get taken care of, etc. It's driving it, trying to get it answered through there. Then deeper than that is the source of situation, which is typically around core beliefs, self-definition, the sense of who people really see themselves to be and may not be, because it may be inaccurate.
Michael, did you switch the slide?
I did. To deep questioning? Do you see it?
Yeah, I'm still seeing the gap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my slides froze as well, so I'm just focusing on the audio.
Okay, I'm going to go back. I'm going back to gap. Hit refresh.
Okay.
Okay. And now you may see me shift through a few slides. If not, they're all in the PDF.
All right.
And you can walk back and reference it. Okay? There's one other tool, and I will talk about that one. It's called weight. It's really just an idea, a concept. But the idea is this. In the absence of clarity, wait. Wait for clarity about that issue. Because it means you don't have enough information on an intuitive, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, full being presence level to take action on it. And any action you take on it is precipitous, trying to force an outcome. It tends to indicate that there's actually something else, whether you perceive it immediately or not, that's more appropriate for you to put your attention on. Because what happens when you have clarity is that everyone on this call, when you have crystal clarity about something, you act decisively. There's no second guessing, no self-doubt, no self-questioning. You just move. So the power of wait is to recognize that, I don't have the clarity about this. Maybe the dominoes in the universe are lining up in a particular way and they're not ready yet. Maybe I should put my attention on something else. Okay? So here's our close. This is to what to play with this week, as well as to experiment with the techniques. And start subtracting any fears or concerns you have about your coaching. If you're a person going for a credential and you're afraid that you're going to show up and then tank it all, that energy's in you. Subtract it so that you can go up and have a joyous time. If you've got a high-level client that you're afraid that you're not going to do well with, subtract it so that you can have a great time and show up as your most present, powerful self. Wow. Okay, so here you go. These are the three questions to play with. What is presenting itself as your next evolutionary challenge? We played a little bit with that in Sanyama. This is one that I'm going to invite you to take a 10 minutes right after this session and answer this one. What experiment or exercise will you take on to advance yourself? See if you can tap into the best possible experiment or exercise that will move you forward. There's one inside you waiting to be known, and all you have to do is ask, well, what is it? What's the exercise for me? What's the experiment I want to try? And then take a look at what might stop you from following through on initiating your own up-leveling. So, here we are at close. What I'm interested in is, again, you know, like how when you bang the gong, it doesn't just go bong. It goes bong. So what went bong like that in you out of our session today? What went bong that you feel is going to resonate through you? I'd like to hear from a number of people. In brief.
Michael, before you do that, I have to leave. It's Dina. I've got to get across town. And I noticed that you had given us CEU questions. Do you want to do that by email or something instead?
I'll do that by email.
Great.
But actually, you know what? I'm going to keep track of it because we're all here.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about this session.
Wonderful.
Michael?
Sorry to leave, but I've got to get across town.
Okay.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you, Michael, for a wonderful call.
You're welcome, Dina. Bye.
Michael, it's Mickey?
Yes.
Yes. I saw something interesting, and I just all of a sudden it popped into my mind that on TV today. I was having a kind of sick day at home, so watching these different crazy things. And it was a restaurant in Brooklyn. That is, and I forgot the name of it, but it's quiet and eat or shut up and eat or something like that, where people are invited to come and eat in silence to appreciate the food. And that metaphor just hit me because I'm answering this question, preempting it, is silence gives you an you can glean from that much more discovery and appreciation than all the busyness. And so that's always been a challenge for me. But it really impressed me. And then when we talked about the quiet space, the blue space, I was right in the middle of it.
Thank you. Nice. Very nice.
Michael, this is Margie.
Okay, Pam,
ahead,
and then there was another person.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Pam, and then Molly.
It was, I've done meditation and had kind of that experience of that ocean of silence. However, I have never had the experience of being asked a question in it, or the analogy of dropping a question in, or the experience of what it's like to ask a question from that place. So that was very different.
Yes, because we typically go to our mind, which is like going to the local library.
Yeah.
That's not connected to the internet for the answer. It's got some stuff in there, but it doesn't have all of the possible answers of the universe available. All of the quantum information field is accessed when we're in that quieter space.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for the experience.
Get better.
Yes.
You're welcome. Good. That's good. Who else? Molly, I think you were next.
I think it was Margie.
Margie. Okay, Margie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was. Yeah. So I think I knew this at some level, but it really stood out today, is what's at risk by not making that revolutionary step is my own clients' transformations.
Wow. Boy, that just pinged me. That's beautifully said. What's at risk by not making that revolutionary step is your own client's transformation. Thank you. Who else? What's reverberating for you?
Michael, I think what Carly said about acceptance has really been wrestling with me for a long time. I think when that's in place, everything else falls into where it should be, because you can't get hooked. You're fully present. You're out of your own intellect and you're into your heart, and you're truly there for the client.
Yeah.
And so for me, you know, that acceptance is paramount for my coaching to be whatever it has to be.
Yeah. Thank you. That's beautiful. Who else? Okay, the dog voted. Now finished. Anyone else have anything you would like to share about what's really reverberating through you today?
Michael, this is Libby, and I'll just share this. When we did the exercise of, calm, peace, whatever, what came up for me is that, I shared that, you know, like, what if I could bring my client to that place, which could be so incredibly powerful. And so what, you know, I feel like is the next big step for me is just finding, I guess we all struggle with self-acceptance. That's more about like my life, right? But when I think about what could be the step for me as a coach, it is really to get to a place of being and not so much doing. And I'm like, you know, on every assessment I've ever taken, I'm achiever, 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 the doer, the doer. And it's so what I'm struggling with, you know, and you talked about last time, and I don't want to, I know we're at the very end here, but it's that whole idea of subtracting, right? And like what's, you know, what's the hole you're trying to fill to make you whole, or, you know, so that the person has the experience of their own whole. It just, that whole thing resonated with me, and it's like it has something to do with the being and the doing, you know, that tension. I don't know if I'm making sense, but.
You are. And so I just invite you to consider a movement. It's going to seem odd, but to utilize the idea that your greatest accomplishment, your greatest achievement, will be the being you become.
Okay.
Because that's the one that then will presence being in the world around you, and therefore then inform doing from a more congruent space.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautifully put. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I accept the challenge.
Cool.
I have to go now, Michael. I'm sorry. This is Pam.
Okay, Pam.
But thank you. All right.
You may find, Libby, that this is going to be a certain aspect of, at times,
at
say,
times
you can't get that from here. Cool.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else who would like to share anything before we close? Okay. So get to work, keep clearing the space, subtracting, noticing structure, all of that good, happy stuff. But know that the most powerful work you can do is on you. And we'll see you next week.
Right.
Okay, bye all.
Thank you.
Thank you.